Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Friday. Hope you had a great week and are looking forward to a great, great weekend. Well, in just a moment, you're going to hear my interview with my own very dear husband. In fact, we recorded this, I want to say, a year, maybe even 2 years ago. But looking back at some of the lessons learned, and would you believe at the end of March, this March, will be our 30th anniversary? Yeah, we got married when we were like five. So, but anyway, we want to revisit this interview because we just looked at some of the highs and lows. We were very transparent about some of the hard times in our marriage. And it was so interesting as Kev and I talked and I had him in studio, we even sort of discovered some things about ourselves along the way. So you're going to hear that in just a couple of minutes. And then second hour, Dana Gresh is coming back on the show. She and Dr. Julie Slattery co-authored a book titled Pulling Back the Shades, and it's in response to the 50 Shades book, and the movie hadn't been out quite yet, but that's why we're bringing her back second hour to just talk about this, because it is alarming how many Christians are reading this stuff and watching these movies, and it really is a measure of pornography and destructive content that really is so far from what God has for us. And Dan will explain why that is, and we'll welcome your questions. That's second hour. So we've got just literally, I want to say, 9 minutes right now. In the next 9 minutes, we've got 6 copies of Chris August's album, The Upside of Down. You've been hearing the bumpers. I've been playing them this week. They're fantastic. And you got to call me right now with your best marriage advice. If someone's thinking about getting married, about to get married, what would be the advice you'd give them? If you get on the air with some advice, we've got a copy of a Chris August album. You're going to just love this album. On your mark, get set, give me a call, 877-933-2484. And I'm telling you, put this on your speed dial. It'll be easier for you to call me next time, 877-933-2484. What's the best piece of marriage advice if you've ever heard or you have to offer? 877-933-2484. Or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And would you believe, the Lenten season is just around the corner. It starts, I want to say next week maybe, but about a week from now, week and a half from now. And so we're bringing back the Commit to Live Fit Faith and Fitness Challenge. Very excited about it. So I think I mentioned this before, but I would say about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago, we did it during the summer. And it's basically a 6-week challenge. Every week you add a new discipline, a physical and a spiritual discipline. And then you add one on the next week. And these disciplines are not hard to do. They're actually easy to do, but they're just as easy not to do. Well, we did them a couple summers ago, and then we did them for over Lent last year, 40 days of faith and fitness challenge, just sort of overlapping it in a way to invite you to engage in the Lenten season in a deeper way, because we are physical and spiritual beings. We carry this treasure in these earthen vessels. And so we love the idea, so we're doing it again, and you can sign up for free. And a couple of you will win a Faith and Fitness gift basket at the end of it. But you'll get an email from me every week, kind of explaining the disciplines, right? And there'll be a physical discipline and a spiritual discipline. For example, the very first week's discipline is up your water intake and up your word intake. So the spiritual discipline is read the word of God. And if you don't yet, daily, start. And if you already do, up your intake and then also drink more water. So it's that simple. And like I said, easy to do, but just as easy not to. Okay, as Grace is getting these calls, actually, I think we can maybe grab a couple. Let's grab a Laura Jean, I believe. Laura, welcome.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well.
Good. And so you've got some marriage advice for us, huh?
Yep, just pretty simple. Just serve your spouse like you're serving Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful. And even if it's simple, it doesn't work if we don't apply it. So if we could show up in marriage with that, that would be amazing. Excellent.
Still working on it.
Yeah. Aren't we all, honey? Well, thank you for that call. You're going to love this album. I want you to put it on in your home and dance, okay?
Sweet. I will.
Okay, hon. Bless you. All right. We've got our friend Dean calling from Winnipeg. Dean, welcome.
Hey, Susan. How are you today?
Great. How are you, sir?
And living the dream.
There you go. Okay, so what's your marriage advice?
You know, best advice I ever heard on marriage, Susan, was that it's not about you.
Hmm.
Just, you know what, when we become inward focused, things go sideways.
Yeah.
It's about the other person. And if we both have that focus, things tend to go so much better.
Indeed. Dean, fantastic. Very good. And you're going to love this album. And I'm charging you, too. When you get it, I challenge you to grab your wife and twirl her around and dance to this thing. It's so good. Okay.
I will let her know that that's part of the deal.
Coming okay. Right from Susie. Yes. Yeah, say, Susie said, I got to twirl you around. All right. God bless you and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Susan. Take care.
Bye-bye. Linda's calling from Conrad, Iowa. Linda, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. This is my husband's best and mine too. Forever commitment.
Excellent,
forever
Linda.
Forever commitment.
You know, that needs to make a comeback, doesn't it?
Yes.
It does. Bless you, Linda. Would you be willing to dance to this CD when you get it? You can decide.
If I could.
All right. God bless you. Thank you for the call. Yeah. All right. Ginger is calling in from Madison, Wisconsin. Ginger, welcome.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. So what's your best marriage advice?
I would say kind of similar to what the other folks have said, but to never give up. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that place when you really want to give up. And I know there was times in my marriage when I just wanted to turn away. And the thing that got me through was to really start treating him how I wish he was treating me.
Wow. Yeah.
And somehow it comes back and it blesses you tenfold, even though it's the hardest thing you've ever done.
Yeah. And Ginger, that's what Jesus would do. I mean, that's how Christ has loved us. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
I hope you enjoy the album and I hope you get up and dance because it's pretty
fun. I will.
All right. Bless you. Lisa's calling in from Des Moines. Lisa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm great as well. Love to hear your marriage advice.
Well, you know how we're always taught to meet the other person halfway?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is near enough. If you only meet each other halfway, it's usually not going to work. You have to go beyond that halfway point and not, because otherwise you're standing there going, okay, I did my part.
Exactly.
Now I'm waiting for you.
So true.
Yeah.
That's excellent advice. And you get that final copy of the Chris August album, and I pray you enjoy it.
I will, I am sure.
Thank you for that wise advice. I think it was for somebody listening today. All right, so we're going to hear in just a moment my interview with my dear, sweet husband. But I want you to hear a portion of the Chris August song, Restore, because he comes from a broken home, and he was at first going to write a snarky song about divorce, and he laid down those first lyrics, and the Lord said, I want you to write a song using those lyrics, but write a song about people growing old together. Let's hear it.
Nobody's growing old together. We've made it easy just to quit. Love has become a negative percentage. Why do we bother to commit? We've got a long list of excuses, ways we try to justify. Well, I propose to you the truth is, marriage does not have to die. I know you're feeling like it's falling apart, and it can't go on anymore. But God is a God who knows how to heal, so this ring, I promise. And with I do, she said forever. But right now, if they're being honest, they don't know if they'll stay together. Let's fast forward to the future. After struggling on their own, they finally figured out they needed Jesus in the middle. Now I'm watching God rebuild their home. I know you're feeling like it's falling apart, and it find a love like yours.
So as I said, we're talking about those defining moments in marriage. You know, those critical points when you choose faith or unbelief, forgiveness or unforgiveness, to let your love grow or to let your love grow cold. And we've been to these edges in our marriage. We've been married almost 28 years, and I'm so honored and blessed to have my husband in studio with me. So I'm going to give him a proper introduction, and then we'll get him on. He's the senior project manager for a large commercial construction company. Actually, he has a name other than honey. Kevin Larson is a senior project manager for a large commercial construction company. I say this, he builds huge buildings and leaps them in a single bound. He's a husband of an amazing wife. That's my, I wrote this bio, can you tell? That was a joke. It was funny. He's a father to three great sons. He's a father-in-law to two treasured daughters-in-law. He's a future grandpa to babies that we're praying into existence. He has served off and on over the years as a volunteer youth pastor, and there are countless teens right now who are walking the earth who consider him as their youth pastor. Welcome, hon.
Wow, it's so great to be here. What a great introduction. I love that.
I know. I feel bad now for saying
you're married. Talk about all my favorite people.
I'm sorry I said you're married to an amazing wife.
It's true.
That's all I wanted you to say. All right. So anyway, we're going to talk about Scripture because, you know, we open the show with Scripture every time. And you chose a passage that to me is just so close to my heart. Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. And I'd just love to read it and have you speak to it. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down deep into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great to understand it fully, too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Talk to us about that passage.
Well, you know, as you said, we're going to kind of talk through a journey. And as I look at this passage, this really does set up the journey of our life and my life, I guess, as I look at myself. And I love how it starts that we pray that this comes from his glorious, unlimited resources. It's not my own. And there's a big shocker there that God is the one. We need to rely on his resources. And that's such a key thing for my life, the things that I've learned throughout the years and we've learned together, as you know. Mm. And then the next part is that Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. He's definitely is doing that. And that your roots would grow down into God's love and keep you strong. They are. Mm. And then just this next piece that I think we're just constantly learning together, that we have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is. It's something that we are just, we're learning as we grow and through our years of marriage, that this has been such a light bulb. Every day that goes by, we learn new things about God's love for us. And just what a great strength that's been to our marriage. It's been incredible.
Mm, it's such a treasure. God's word is so rich. And, you know, coming up on our 28th wedding anniversary. And so last night when you and I were talking, we sort of broke up our marriage journey so far into three different phases: faith, forgiveness, and freedom. And so the first season, the first, whatever, 8-9 years or so, was really marked by faith because it was marked by crisis. And so to back up, even when I was a single gal, young, I don't know, I was 19, maybe 20, wanting to be married, thinking, do you have a man for me? And really feeling in my spirit, yes, God does have a man for me. And so I made this decision. I'm going to start praying for you now. I haven't met you yet. I don't know what you're like, but I'm going to pray every morning and every night for you. And I'm going to live as one who's spoken for. And girls have a way of acting single, you know, connecting eyes with guys and whatever to let them know I'm available. I felt like God was saying, act taken. Live as one who's spoken for. So I started to pray every morning and every night. God bless this man. Bless his work ethic. He's got to be funny. He's got to have a sense of humor. And I actually just fell in love with the idea of you. And I remember three nights in a row waking up in the middle of the night feeling just distressed that something was going on in your life. And I journaled it and said, his heart is broken, something's not right. And it was, I know that sounds creepy and freakish, but it's true. And I slipped out of bed, got on my knees, and just prayed that God would remind you that his promises are true. And then later, jump ahead, we're dating, and we're walking around the lake, and we connected notes. And you happened to have been sitting up those nights, brokenhearted, and your mom was sitting at the edge of your bed, holding your hand, saying, God has a special woman out there for you. Isn't that something when you think even back then how God was getting things ready?
It really is amazing how many times we've come across times like that where we feel something, just a nudge from God to be praying for each other. And it went back to before we even knew each other, which is such a cool thing that we just know God knows who we are and what we're going through. And he put that on your heart to pray for me. That was a really cool moment for us. I know when we just started dating.
Mm-hmm. And then we met at a singles retreat and I didn't like you that much.
That's not true.
It's totally true. You had this swagger.
My side of the story is that she fell so hard for me.
I so did not. He irritated me because he had this like swagger, and I thought, I don't like that guy. He thinks he's all that, but I found out later he's just big, and so that's how he walks.
And then she overcharged me for the retreat because she was working at the table.
And that's true. So, okay. So we met at this singles retreat, and we did hit it off like within 24 hours. We were joking a lot, and it looked like, you know, well, there's some potential chemistry here. And we spent that whole day together. We did a horseback ride with the group, but we were talking a lot. And by nighttime, you said, everybody's going to the lodge to sit by the fire. You want to come? And what was my answer?
No, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I was nice about it, but I just said, oh, I have to go to sleep now. And he's like, it's 9 o'clock. And he's like, I thought we had this good thing going. I'm like, oh, we do, but it's my bedtime.
9 o'clock has been bedtime ever since.
Yeah, nothing's changed. So I just can't function at night. And so anyway, 4 months after that time, we got engaged. 8 months after that time, we got married. So we got married a year after we met, got pregnant on our honeymoon, and had our first child 9 months after that.
Yeah, that was quite a ride that first year. But we, even through that first year, it feels like we were really close. Remember, we used to walk around the lakes and quote Bible verses to each other and
pray a lot.
I loved how the foundation that was built, even before we were really married, that we really just put God first. And that was a great foundation in our marriage that we found out that we would really need later on.
Yeah, boy, that's so true that you cultivate those times when you can because you're going to rely on them when you can't. And so we had our first son, Jake, and he was so compliant. We really thought we were good parents. And then we had Luke, and then we realized, you know, it's the luck of the draw. No, I'm kidding. Lukey was our strong-willed child, and he's just an angel, and we love him. He's a full-grown man, wonderful husband. But he was our challenging guy. And then we had a third son, Jordan. But it was in the middle of that, during our pregnancy with Luke, where crisis started to hit. High-risk pregnancies, many months in bed rest, babies in the hospital, respiratory issues. And a lot of you know the story of that third pregnancy with Jordan. I'm 3 months along, go into premature labor, have to have surgery to stop to have my cervix sewn shut. 6 months in bed with a 1 and a 3-year-old. And during that time, I was allowed to get up one day to test the waters. Long story short, met some girlfriends from college in Stillwater, got bit by the deer tick, didn't know it, got Lyme disease. So went 6 months in bed, delivered that baby, and went down with a Lyme disease. So that marked those first years of our marriage. So here we're in our 20s with high-risk pregnancies, babies in the hospital, not great insurance. So with every trip to the hospital, our medical debt was skyrocketing. And so here I am on bed rest 6 months going, 5 more months till mommy can make your sandwiches. 4 more months till mommy can take you to the park. 3 more months, honey, till I can be the mom and you don't have to be the mom and dad anymore. And literally I give birth to this boy and then I go down. And so what was that like for you, Kev? Because you were in your 20s. I mean, there's so few 20-somethings that would have managed that. But you were the mom, the dad, working 2 and 3 jobs to keep food on the table.
You know, the hardest thing was probably not knowing what the future held, because I think both of us felt like, you know, at that time we felt like maybe we can get through this. But when it's something that's short term, you kind of feel like that, like I can maybe muscle this out, which was kind of my tendency all the time, is to just muscle this through, you know, and get through this. But When it's kind of open ended, you don't know how it's going to turn out. It got real, real difficult, and you have to put your trust into something other than yourself.
Yeah, and some of you know the story, so forgive me if you've heard it before. But it really culminated. This is one of those defining moments for me. So if you imagine, you know, 6 months on bed rest, I'm a doer, I'm a producer, and so to have all that taken away and have to look at the fatigue on his eyes, to look at what it's costing him and other people, so that I could stay in bed rest to care for this baby, so it wouldn't be born early. Just about killed me. So suddenly I'm delivering this baby and I've got 3 kids. All the friends who were helping with babysitting kind of had to go away because 6 months was a long time. I had to just get back and be the mom, but I'm dealing with a disease I didn't know I had yet. And I was sitting on the couch one day talking to my sister. I got these 3 little boys who are party waiting to happen. And I'm talking to her, and I mixed up my words. I just got my sentence wrong. And she said, and she knew I was having numbing, facial numbing, dizziness, memory loss, all kinds of weird neurological symptoms. And so she says, hang up the phone right now. I'm calling Kevin. And I'm sitting there, my face buzzing, pulsating with numbness, feeling like my life was over. I'm in my 20s. I'm like, I'm dying. Something's terribly wrong with me. And my poor husband had to come home from work so many times over the last few years because of pregnancy issues, labor and delivery issues and all this. I couldn't even believe that here again, he had to run in the front door, run up to me, and I'm kneeling down. He kneels down. I mean, I'm sitting on the couch. He kneels in front of me, grabs my arms and goes, what? Are you okay? And he was never mean or mad. I couldn't believe it. And I'm crying, and I said, there's just something wrong with me. And he scooped me up in his arms and brought me to the hospital. I was scared out of my mind. It was some kind of disease that would force me to live on the sidelines. Well, the doc says to Kevin, I could hear him. He says, well, we think it might be brain tumor or MS. We've done everything we can do for her. Here, take her home and start scheduling some tests. And it was just the darkest, darkest, darkest hour of my life. It was a sleety winter day. We were dead quiet. It felt like life is not at all like we thought it would be. We drove home, and he tucked me into bed, and I cried my eyes out, and he's just about ready to walk out of the room and turn the light out, and I grabbed his arms, and I'm bawling my eyes out, and I said, divorce me. I want you to divorce me. I'm going to go live with my mom and my dad, and I want you to marry someone who's funny and who loves Jesus and who will care for these boys, but I can't live like this, and I can't let you see me like this, and I can't let you give your whole life away for someone like me. And he came back and said, you listen here. You are my bride and you always will be. And if I have to kneel down to kiss you because you're in a wheelchair, then that's what I'm going to do. Stop talking like that. And that was a moment that I saw the face of God in my husband. That was a moment, honey, where you communicated God's love, that I'm not going anywhere. And you weren't talking out of the emotion of the moment. You were pledging your love, even though it already had cost you so much over the last 6 months. We only have about 2.5 minutes before break, but maybe comment on that moment. Because that was huge for me. That was very healing for me.
Mm. Boy, that's just such a... it takes me right back to that time where there's so much unknown. But honestly, I think if I look back on it now and just... I look back and saw two parents that just loved each other through thick and thin, no matter what it was. And they had such a good example of just a strong foundational marriage that nothing...
Parents, you mean?
Yeah, our parents will just... They'll stick it out through anything, and your parents were the same way. Mm-hmm. And we had that modeled for both of us, and that was such a valuable thing. It just at a time like that where we didn't know what the future held, it was a crisis, but we had something modeled, honestly, that is so valuable that we saw just two parents, both of us, all four of our parents, that just really stuck it out through things like that were difficult.
And it was like you, I mean, because that. You know, it seemed like you were almost in your element. You have very broad shoulders. So it was like you to go, we're just going to keep going. Because you're a producer too, right? I mean, yeah. It just seemed like you just went into a new gear.
That felt like the natural thing to do, honestly. That didn't feel very hard.
Mm. Well, thank you. Mm. Because it taught me something so deeply. This is where you hear me say, if you've ever heard me speak, you're not what you do. You're not what you do. You're someone God loves. That's where I learned that truth, that we're called to do great things, but we're not what we do. We're someone God loves. So if you're in one of those seasons where you feel like I'm not producing, my life is a mess, right here, right now, this is where God says, right now, I'm sold on the idea of you. I'm not going anywhere. You don't have to produce for me to draw near. You just got to humble yourself. I love you. And wow, good conversation. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Got my husband, Kevin Larson, in studio. We're kind of talking about these defining moments in our marriage and why they matter, right? And so we've got some love songs to play along the way, too. And if you want to ask a question, you sure can. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Talking to my honey, we're just sort of remembering what God has done, what he's doing, and what he will do, because he is good and his promises are true. More with my husband in just a minute.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Indiana, 1983, living on pizza and two little sleep.
that, Stephen Curtis Chapman. Love that. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So blessed to have my husband in studio today. We had Ann Voskamp on for the first 10 minutes just talking about the upcoming Set Apart conference. But we're talking about defining moments in marriage. And so as I said at the top of the show, we kind of broke up our journey in three categories, three phases: faith, forgiveness, and freedom. So our first, I don't know, eight or nine years was really called for faith for us. So much crisis, so many health challenges, and really places where we were just like, our circumstances felt truer than God's promises. But when we learned to start to go, even if this feels true, we have to decide that God's word is true. And again, that's where we cultivated that feisty faith, going, I have got to put my roots down into the soil of God's marvelous love. If it doesn't count here, it doesn't count anywhere. And so sometimes we get asked, you know, you're still fairly young for having such strong, feisty faith. I really believe it was cultivated in that soil of absolute hardship. And so these were three anchor verses for me. And we're going to give, Kev's going to speak to one more aspect of that season in just a sec here. But this was one, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. This was probably the only verse that came alive to me. All the rest of the word just seemed dead on the page. I couldn't even draw from it. But this, I'd come back to this one and it would like come to life for me. So it was like, if everything else is falling apart, but you got a few seeds in your hand to say, and that seed is, I will find God in this somehow. I will find him. You weep as you plant your seed. You know, the tendency is to try, if your life is falling apart, to do it, let go of your seed and do what you can to present well, to save face, to make it look like it's not as bad as it is. But the most important thing to do there is to not lose the seed. Put it in the ground. Water it with your tears if you have to. Stomp your foot and say, here, I will find God. I will find him in this place. Well, the Bible says in that passage, they weep as they plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. I guarantee you, you plant some seeds of faith. You declare his faithfulness. You say, God is true. His promises are true. He will make a way for me. I promise you, you will come out the other side of this season having found him abundantly with arms full. And I still are reaping the blessings of seeds planted back then. We've got a harvest in our arms because of that. Absolutely amazing. Another one, Psalm 27:13. I'm confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I just declared that. I pray it. I sang it. I twirled around in my kitchen and danced it. Lord, I will see your goodness in the land of the living. That was a big one for me. And then this one, I said it just prophetically over my life, even though it wasn't true yet. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. This is Psalm 40. And he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to my God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. I was just declaring that. I waited. He came through. And he's going to come through in such a way that many are going to observe how he came through for me. And then they're going to look up and put their own trust in the Lord. I'm telling you, put a flag in the ground going, my verse, my passage, my God, he promises. And so those were anchor verses for me. But before we move on to the forgiveness stage of our life, hon, you had one more aspect of this faith season that was a trying season. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you make that story sound so almost kind of heroic, but that part was easy for me. There was a time that came later that was really, really hard for me. And that was, after you started to get better, then I was diagnosed with cancer and had to go through all the treatments. And it just took me out and leveled me in a way like nothing ever had before. And that was really, really hard for me because it took away all my structure, the things that I just held on to try to muscle things out on my own. And honestly, that was a struggle that I just, when things happened like that physically to me, it just took me out, and you were, and you had to care for me for a change, you know, mm-hmm. And that was different. And I can't, as we look back on our journey and our life, it just, when you think about how many times that we had, when one is up, the other's down, and one is down, the other one is up. And during times like that, when we just really have to borrow each other's faith, like, I'm weak, I can't do this, and the other one has to hold the other up. And we've had moments like that kind of that are defining and made us who we are, as far as when we have to hold on to that and understand that this is not in our own strength. But that was a hard journey for me, mm-hmm. that lasted mm-hmm. a good year or more.
And so a song that marked that season was by Stephen Curtis, and it's called I Will Be Here. We're just going to play a portion of that before we talk about this forgiveness season. So we got our health back for the most part, got overcommitted, And really, this is where we almost depleted our marriage. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Stephen Curtis Chapman, he actually helped us through this whole marriage journey, didn't he? Mm-hmm. His songs have just ministered so deeply to us. So that was the faith season, and a lot going on in there. We did not make it look good. I mean, there are nights of me crying, throwing my pillow across the room, going, "Where are you, God?"
We had our moments, didn't
we? Oh, did we ever? We didn't make it look good. So don't think for a minute that we waltzed through the faith season. We crawled. You know, I guttural sobbed. We begged God to break through. It was scary, painful, hard. But I honestly wouldn't trade it because it really made us who we are.
Yeah,
today.
I say that so often with things like cancer and things like that that you can't control. I would never wish it on anybody, but it's one of those things I would never trade it either.
Yeah.
Once you get through it and you see what that does in you, it just changes your whole perspective on life.
So true. And time's going by so fast, so I want to make sure we get to both of these seasons. But this one is really important and is not such a pretty season for us. And this is the season of forgiveness. And I think what happened for us both, hon, because we're both producers and doers and we care about a lot of stuff, is we got overcommitted at church. Saw a lot of need. We were part of a smaller church that had a lot of need. And we're like, oh, I can do that. I can do that.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. And we did a lot of good things at the expense of the best thing. Now, I'm a doer and a producer, but he's got much bigger shoulders, and he's just, you know, I'm like the size of his leg, so that should tell you something. But really, I burnt out before he did, and so I'm like, hello, this isn't working. But my hubby, we were overseeing the youth group at the time and helping in other capacities at church, but then he was also the chairman of the building committee. So they went from meeting in a school to building a church, and if you've ever been through a church building committee, it's brutal, and I thought it would kill us. It was about 2.5 years of Kev working about 70 hours a week where there was almost no connection between us. And he was kind, but, you know, especially learning about my love languages being acts of service and quality time, those were absent. And so for me, brutally honest, and obviously this is no secret to Kev, I thought my love completely had died. And so I knew I would never leave you because I made a commitment not to. But I was ready to leave you in my heart and separate and let my, you know, love grow cold. I just remember being so angry and so hurt and so mad about the church building going, you know, you're a hero to everybody but me. And I remember one morning, the Lord just nailed me and said, I know he's missing it right now, but between the two of you, you've committed the greater offense. And I'm like, what? And God spoke so clearly to my heart. He said, you've let your love grow cold. And that's the bigger sin. And so you go and apologize to him. And I thought, man, my anger is allowing me to get everybody's laundry done. I'm so efficient because I'm so mad. But I feared God. And I remember going to you because of I feared the Lord. And so I remember you were sitting one night in the living room and you were looking at a blueprint. And I sat at your feet. I purposely put myself on the floor because my own flesh wanted to rise up. And I said, honey, I got to tell you something. I don't know. You're not hearing me. But I hear God, and he's telling me that I've committed the greater sin between the two of us. I've let my love close up and grow cold. Would you forgive me? And even if you don't get it from this point on, I'm going to make a choice to love you because I belong to Jesus. And I remember just by humbling myself, it's like I saw your eyes open up and you said, is this what my choices have been doing to you? And you came down on the floor and we cried and prayed. And that was a defining moment. Just say a word about that for you.
Yeah, not my shining hour, that's for sure. But I'll tell you what, in that conversation, if I remember right, there was many conversations that were like, we are too busy. We're doing too many things. We need to fix this. But I wasn't listening. And honestly, I think that's I just have so much regret about that, about not paying attention to that, because it was a couple of years that we went through this really hard time. And it wasn't until that time where you were just so humble and sweet and came and said, this is what this is doing to you. That was really the first time that I really heard what you've been saying for quite a long time. And honestly, I think I just had this overdeveloped, responsibility muscle that I have to do this all on my own. And I think I see so many guys that are in the same position, and I'm telling you, I'm still there. This is still a struggle because this is almost built into my DNA. It feels like where I just have to do these things on my own, and it's a thing that I'm just constantly learning. But this was definitely a defining moment, and I think there's a lot of guys that feel like that, and we all make it sound really good. You know, we make it sound like you don't understand. I have to do this. This is a job that nobody else can do or nobody else will do, and that's kind of what it sounds like. But the truth is, we're putting so much on our own efforts, and so much relies on us. And that was really just a serious wake-up call for me to say, it really doesn't. I'm not taking care of my wife. I'm not doing the thing that I should do that God called me to do as her provider and husband. And I've been missing her. And honestly, that was such a wake-up call for me. Just like you said, when I look like Jesus to you when you were sick, that's when you look like Jesus to me.
Wow, that's something, hon. Well, you know, in that point, we put some big rocks in our, you know, we defined the big rocks, the non-negotiables. And that was, I want to say 15 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I got that right. But just our devotional prayer time in the morning, and we pray together at night, just certain things that are non-negotiables. And other people will pull on us at times, and we're like, we don't bend on these things. And I believe now that we're together, we're actually doing more, producing more, five times more
That's
than what
true.
We tried to accomplish running parallel lives. Isn't that
That's
amazing?
So true. Yeah.
That's why the enemy seeks to divide marriages, because we are so powerful when we come together. We came together. Our yes became yes. Our no became no. We sought each other, sought God before we would commit to anything. And slowly but surely, our oneness with God and each other start to bear fruit in a way that is boggling our mind. And so now, let's jump ahead here to freedom, because this is a time now where we are walking in a freedom in Christ that is boggling both of our minds. We're getting audacious faith. After seeing the prayers answered, the things we've gone after in prayer, we're getting an appetite for the impossible. What do you say?
Yeah, that's true. And honestly, it all comes from priorities being out of line. And when you start to put those priorities in line, and honestly, the other verse that I was thinking about even sharing right in the beginning, and Anne brought it up, is Psalm 46:10, to be still and know that I am God. That's such a, we're learning that in new ways every single day. There's so much depth in that verse that it's just like every single day, there's a new level of that we really need to hand over ourselves and to just be still and know, put our trust in the Lord and let him lead us.
And I love that. And really, to get a picture of maybe the way the enemy has come against you, honestly, I want to tell you, it is the very way that God wants to use you and bless you. And an example, and again, maybe you've heard this story, so forgive me if you have, but it was our 24th wedding anniversary, I believe, and we were in Washington, D.C. with our friends Troy and Sarah Groves on Capitol Hill. We were lobbying for legislation to end the trafficking of children. And obviously, we woke up that morning, we kissed and we hugged. Happy anniversary, honey. Had a big day ahead of us. We did all these meetings and just talking about the plight of trafficked children. It had been such a long day. We walk out of those halls of power, and Troy and Sarah are walking ahead of us, and she's got her head on Troy's shoulder. We're just all exhausted, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. And you just reached down with your big, strong hand, and you scooped up my hand, and I just looked up at you, and I started to cry. I mean, involuntarily, I just started to cry, and you're just like, what are you crying for? I said, do you realize, hon, that 24 years ago, you married a wounded bird, And 24 years later, we're advocating for millions of little wounded birds. I said, only God could do that. To me, that was a defining moment because it gave both of us a picture of the enemy just wants us to live small, selfish lives reacting to our issues. And don't you think God wants us to get through our selfish issues so we can get on to bigger kingdom work and life?
Isn't that amazing how, I mean, some of the things that we've had opportunities to go do, when you look back and say that was above and beyond us, but wow, God put us in a place where we can reach out and impact maybe one life or some lives just because of obedience. And it's sometimes you don't even realize it until you look back and see, wow, look where God's brought us. It really is an amazing thing.
And, you know, I want to say just a word of encouragement. If you've got a marriage that's flatlined, that you can actually be in a place where you feel no love and even feel hatred. And God can resurrect your life and your marriage from the grave. He absolutely can. He's in the business of redemption. And, hon, I just got to just honor you because, you know, you travel. You've got a big, audacious daily job, big job. You manage multiple construction projects at a time. I've got a pretty big job during the day. And then, you know, a couple weekends a month, we're on the road speaking, doing ministry stuff. And Kev works.
Going to women's retreats.
Going to women's retreats. And this is the thing. Is he works, you imagine, on these big construction job sites. And these guys are all, most of them are going off hunting. They're about to get their, strap their gun to them, right? And they're like going hunting. And my hubby is so secure. He's like, I'm off to women's retreat. And he works the book table with such grace, and he just is so in tune with what God is saying and just speaks life to these women. He manages our web inventory, all the business books behind the scenes. That's not a small job. And you do it with such humility. And I can't even believe how many women have come to the table and just said, there's something about you working back here. I mean, is this what you do for a living? But it's like it speaks to them because you just know who you are. So you're so good with, you know, coming alongside, this isn't my ministry, by the way, it's ours. We've really gotten a vision. But I just want to honor you for that. That's amazing. Thank you.
You're so sweet. I tell people all the time, I do construction during the week and go to women's retreats on weekends.
It's true.
Keeps me balanced.
It's so good. But I think the reason we wanted to just do this today is because you have highs and you have lows in your marriage. There are times you don't have the feelings you wish you did, and it's so easy to give up. But I am telling you what, when you hang in there and get through the valley of the shadow, what is on the other side with the person that you said yes to is so worth it. We are in our best days. Our kids are grown. We're empty nesters. We laugh our guts out. I mean, you've heard me say I'm a terrible cook, right? And this is what he said to me last night. Why don't you make me a complicated meal and I'll critique you for it? See, I think that's just funny. After I slugged him, and then I'm thinking about it.
That came out of something that we heard on TV. I can't remember what it was, but yeah. I just thought that seemed like a good idea.
Yeah, it was funny. Anyway, we're going to hear a song, and this one's called Long Way Home, and it's by Stephen Curtis, because Stephen wrote this, you know, after he lost his daughter. He's been through the valley of the shadow. It's hard, you know. You got to humble yourself. You got to trust God. You got to grab hold of those promises when your circumstances seem to scream louder. But if you do, I'm telling you what, friend, you will come out the other side having found him abundantly. Let's hear this song before we wrap up.
My father started leading me home. He said, there's gonna be some mountains to climb and some valleys we're gonna go through. But I had no way of knowing just how hard this journey could be. 'Cause the valleys are deeper and the mountains are steeper than I ever would have dreamed. But I know we're gonna. Should have been to not yet. I keep on dragging around, and I can hardly wait for the day I get to lay it all down. Well, I know that day is coming. I know it's gonna be here soon, and I won't turn back even if the whole
get too comfortable. 'Cause really all we are is just pilgrims passing through.
Great. I'm thinking of one last memory before we pray. I remember sitting on the couch, hugging a pillow, crying my eyes out over this wretched medical debt and this feeling like we're never going to get on top of things. And I'm crying and crying. You're like, why is this so hard for you? And I said, I have a dream to give a whole bunch of money away to the poor, and I can't see how we're going to get there. And I remember you just reaching out, grab my hand, going, I'm going to help you make that dream come true. And we're working so hard to get this college debt paid off, but we have this audacious mutual goal now to live on half of our income and give the other half away. And I only say that to the praise and the glory of his name. We're climbing that percentage up slow but sure and hope to get there probably in the next 5 years or so. But that's just awesome.
It has so much to do with taking back some of the land that the enemy has stolen from us. And we both feel the same way, that we just want to go after that and to see what happens when God uses just two people that are just available, and he puts us in places that we really don't belong, really, aside from him.
So good. Well, I'm going to just have you read. Well, let's read that passage. You have it in front of you, honey, the Ephesians passage.
Yep.
Read it again just for context, and I'll just have you pray for that couple. But go ahead and just read that passage.
Yep. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources that he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God.
So powerful. Any last charge for some man listening today who's maybe struggling with the world on his shoulders?
I think just to read on the rest of that passage, and this is a very familiar passage, I think, to a lot of people, Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. I think there's so many marriages out there like ours that we've had our struggles, we've had our hard times, but pressing in and just holding on to the hope that that the Lord brings, it just brings a, we're living such a blessed life right now, I think, because we really pressed in and held on through really hard times back then. But I would say to men that are listening that really, maybe they relate to the struggle that I had, that it was like, I need to muscle this out on my own. Just a charge to slow down, be still, know that he is God, and really just take that seriously. Let that soak in. And understand that everything doesn't rely on our strength and what we have to do, but our strength really does come from the Lord.
Amen, indeed. Well, as we wrap up, would you pray, hon, for that couple that's at that place or hanging on by a fingernail? Would you pray for them?
I'd love to. Lord, I think there are so many marriages just like ours. We just want to be open and honest and talk about some things that are struggles. But we pray for that couple right now that maybe is going through the valley, and they're going through a hard time and just holding on by a fingernail. Lord, that you would just be their hope. And for guys that are listening that maybe are doing the thing that I did for years, and I still struggle with at times, is just to try to do this on my own. Lord, I just pray that you just bring a clarity of Scripture to them, that you are our hope. You are our God, and we submit to you, and we can do amazing things because of you, and not because of our own strength. So, Lord, we just commit those marriages to you, Lord. And we just we thank you for the opportunity to share a story of your faithfulness. In your name.
Amen. Kevin Larson, I'd marry you all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, hon.
You, baby.
Thanks.
smile at me. And our two worlds came crashing together. And true love story begins. I am God.
Having a great conversation today. Hour 2 of Live the Promise is up next.